Now, isn't it wonderful that God has not left us to change our lives in the same terrible human resources with which we had before we got saved? See, that's the problem with trying to become a Christian by living a life. That's the problem with, as a Christian, trying to live up to something that you can't. It's Christ living in me. Thank you. You may be seated. And turn, if you will, quickly in your Bibles. Turn quickly in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin reading at verse number 17. Now, this talks about the original way we were. If you go back to chapter 2, we're walking according to the course of this world, according to the culture around us, the prince of the power of the air. We were walking in a kingdom opposed to God. Verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other pagans. The word Gentile is a synonym for pagans. Not other as other pagans walk in the vanity. That's the emptiness, the futility of their thinking, of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated, cut off, not connected to the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. And that ignorance is a willful ignorance that comes out of the blindness of the heart, out of moral choices. Who being past feeling, that is, they have no sensitivity toward God. Absolutely no sensitivity toward God. Who being past feeling, given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. And they do this with greediness. They go at it with a vengeance. They don't only do it, they do it with a vengeance. You've not so learned Christ. You don't learn Christ in this way. This is not Christ. This is the opposite of Christ. If so be, you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation. That's the conversation is what you say by what you do. It's the testimony of your life. It's your manner of living. You put off the former conversation, the old man. The old man is described corrupt according to lusts which are deceitful, lusts, passions which lead to deception and lead you astray. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There is a habit of life, a way of thinking that goes on in the life of the believer. You will notice, and go back to chapter 2 and verse 10. Chapter 2 and verse 10 for just a moment. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, it talks about the old life that we had, and then we've been saved by grace. Is that right? Verses 8 and 9, is that true? Have I got it right? I'm going by my memory, okay? Then when I come to verse number 10, it says, for we are people trying to do good works. No, we are what? His workmanship. What's the next word? Created. Who alone has the power of creation? Who can make something out of nothing? Okay, God can. We are his workmanship, created in relationship with Christ Jesus. In our union with Christ Jesus, we are created unto what? Good works. That's the result, you see. That's a life process that results in good works, which God, look at it now, which God beforehand, this is what he had in mind. This is what God was thinking. God beforehand appointed for us that we might walk therein. So this is God's appointment for us to walk in a new creation, a new created life. So we're back in chapter 4 and verse number 22, and I want us to look at three things here. Maybe I can just cover them. I have 8 minutes. Okay, let me see what I can do with this. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. I want you to see three things. Number one, you are to put off something in verse number 22. Now, Greek lesson. Ready for your Greek lesson. Okay? This is a verbal tense. Anybody know what a verb is? Action. Action. I hit the pulpit. She's running down the street. Okay. Now, the aorist tense is, and by the way, I saw this happen at McDonald's the other day. I saw a guy get out of the car and swing at a guy. They were having something, and I stayed in the car for a little bit. I didn't want to get in the middle of that. But he only took one swing at him. That's aorist tense. He did it once, and that was it. He hit him on the jaw. He hit him. That's one. But he is hitting him. Woo! That's what we call the linear tense. It's a continuous tense, okay? Something is going on. It's going on. It's repeating, being repeated and repeated and repeated, see? So the aorist tense, you do it once and it's over. And the present tense or the linear tense, you just keep on doing it, see? Now, there are tenses here. You got it? You got your Greek lesson for the day. Aorist tense, how many times did they do it? Just once, okay? And the linear tense or the present tense, how many times? You continue doing it, okay? So now, this is how you live the Christian life. You put off aorist tense. You decide at the beginning of the day, look, no way. You put off concerning something that happened before, the former way of life, the way you lived before. And you put off this old man that is committed to sin and anger and hatred and debauchery and immorality. You put off this guy. And is corrupt according to lusts that really are in their nature deceitful. It's a graphic thing. Put off from yourself. What do you do when you go to bed at night? You take off what? You take off the day's clothes. You put on your pajamas. You take it off and you put something else on. Is that true? Or you've been out working and you're all dirty and sweaty and you want to clean up and go somewhere. You take off the dirty clothes, take a shower, and you put on the new clothes. Okay? So what he's saying here is you take this old nature, you've got it, and you have to make a decision. This is an act of your will. It's intelligent. You know what's going on. You're conscious and you're aware that it needs to be done. Are you conscious and aware that there's a part of you that needs to be put off? Are you aware of it? Come on. Am I the only one? Don't embarrass me publicly. Do you all live in that world? Yeah, I have to put him off. I mean, he's ugly. He does terrible things. And I have to consciously, every day, every morning and every night, I put him off. I do it twice a day. I do it consciously. It's a way of life with me. Because I realize there are things going on in my life, and I have to be on the right side of the issues. So you put off this old man. You take him off. Literally means put off from yourself. It's kind of graphic. The old, and that's which is out of date, that which is former, it should be worn out and obsolete and antiquated. The problem is it doesn't show up that way in our lives. The former life, this is how we used to live. When it talks about the former conversation, put it in the way you and I talk, how we used to live, put that off. How we used to live, put it off. The old man, the former unregenerated self in its entirety. Corrupt. Wow, the word corrupt, interesting. This is a what we call a present participle. I said the present linear tense, how many times does it happen? Continually. Well, this old man continually corrupts us. He is corrupt. He is corrupting us. Corrupting. It touches, corrupts everything we do if we're not careful. He is corrupting us. That's the picture that we have here. And the idea of corrupt means it brings destruction or death or shipwreck. Wow. It destroys everything it touches. Have you ever stopped? This bothers me. I'm a pastor here. I forget what the situation was. We were talking about a mistake somebody made in ministry. And, you know, the big problem with being a pastor is when you make a mistake, a lot of people can get hurt. You ever stop to think about that? And I've often prayed, dear Lord, please, please, please don't let me do things that will hurt people. You say one thing in a sermon just a little bit off and people get hurt. You do one thing that somebody misunderstands and people can get hurt. But that, I hope in my life, is an unintentional thing, but this old man does this to people. Everywhere it goes, it hurts people. When you lie to someone, you hurt them. Yes? When you hate somebody, you hurt somebody. The things that we do hurt people. Sin is destructive. You cheat on your taxes, people get hurt from that. Everything that's wrong hurts people. All sin does that, okay? So we're to put off this old man. And these are passions of deception. Passions that are the instruments of the deceptive powers of sin. English Standard Version says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And that's a good translation of this particular verse. So we're to put off. That's aorist tense. How many times? One time. You put it off. Do it, and then go on with your life. Secondly, be renewed. Now this, verse 23, if you look at that, this is a present tense. It's a linear tense. It means this needs to be continually and constantly taking place. Be continually being renewed. Be continually being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be made new, fresh, different in that which animates and gives life to your mind, the spirit of your mind, your way of thinking, your attitudes. I think it's a lot easier to be technically correct than it is to have your attitudes right. Is that true? Well, he was wrong. And well, the way I said that, I just became wrong too. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Be continually being renewed. Our attitude, our way of thinking. And this has to do also with our emotions. The mind involves also thinking and judging thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. How in the world can we renew ourselves? Look in the mirror and say, you're going to do better. No. Get to know the Lord and His Word. It's through prayer, the reading of the Word of God, and just walking with the Lord through life that changes things. Transformation of life, and hear me, transformation of life must begin with the mind. I have a series of messages I preached years ago on the renewing of the mind. The battle for your life is in your mind. That's where it is. And whatever captures your mind generally captures your heart. And whatever captures your heart rules your life. That's the way this works. Transformation of life must begin with the mind. Begins with repentance, that's changing the mind, and then letting God work in your life to renew your mind. A constant process of renewing. And put on something in verse 24. This is aorist tense again. Put on for yourself the new man which after God is created. Ah, it's a divine creation. It creates you in rightness, righteousness, and true holiness. Put on, there is an intelligent exercise of the will. It's something I decide to do. I determine I'm going to do. Now, this new man is the direct product of an act of divine creation. It's created after the pattern of God, likeness of God, the pattern of God, described by righteousness and integrity and holiness, separatedness from sin unto God. And it's defined by truth. Hear the truth of God's word. Stuart Custer says in his commentary, we need to put on this new nature as though it were a spiritual garment. True holiness is often not a high priority for new converts, but God commands, be ye holy, for I am holy. The believer ought to be consciously separated from sin and devoted to a holy God. Let's stand together. Let me share with you again. I think I've shared this with you before, but let me share this with you again. I have rituals in my life. They are very meaningful to me. Twice a day, I offer a sacrifice to God. Every morning and every night. I don't want to live through a day unless that day is lived for the glory of God. And I don't want to sleep through the night unless the work of God is accomplished in my life while I'm asleep. So every morning, I offer up a sacrifice of my entire being to God. My body, my soul, my spirit, my heart, my mind, all of my capacities and abilities. And I lay them on the altar in God's presence and glory, a burnt offering, which means God is going to consume that whole day. He has a right to burn it all up in any way He wants to. Not how I want to, any way He wants to. And if what He wants is different than what I want, He gets what He wants. I get that resolved before the day starts. Solves a lot of problems, folks. So I lay it on the altar. It's to be consumed exclusively and entirely and greatly in His desires, in His pleasures, in His plans, in His purposes, in His ways, and in His works. And then at night, you see, I don't want anything going on in my heart and mind when I'm asleep at night that He doesn't want. I want His ministry in my life all night long. I go to bed, I do the same thing. There needs to be an active mind. A spiritual person has an active mind, not a passive mind, an active mind. Sharp. The Spirit of God does not dull your mind. He sharpens it. Makes it more decisive. There needs to be an intelligent consideration of this continually. You put off, and then all day you put on. And at night, you put off and let the Lord renew your mind. Just a conscious, continual thing in your life as a believer. Every day, every day. So that every day you lay your bed on the pillow at night and you say, "Now, Lord, it wasn't the way I wanted it, but I thank You that You did it." And you give it to Him. And your life is His. And you're not available to get angry at people, to hate people. You're not available to be dishonest and deceitful. You're not available to do immoral things. Your mind is not available. You gave that to God. Your heart's not available. Then there ain't part of you that's available to do what the wicked one wants you to do. It isn't available. As my brother's mother-in-law would say, "My car doesn't go there." So, as believers, that resolves a lot of issues, but there needs to be an active mind and an active will. And there are things that come to my mind at times that are wicked and terrible, and I say, "I won't. I won't. I won't." There's got to be an exercise of the will in this whole thing. The mind alert, sharp, and the will strongly set to put off, to put on, and to be continually being renewed. And boy, do we need that. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Need to be continually renewed. That's the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Father, bless Your people now. We're going from this place into our various walks of life. Some are going to school, some are going to work, some are going to be at home, some are in the neighborhood. Just all kinds of things going on in our lives. May God be glorified. Fill us with the Spirit of the living God. Renew us in our mind and our hearts. Just continually, dear Lord, renew us in life. Give great joy and blessing as we walk with You. May the hand of God be seen and be evident and be strong in every one of our lives. For those that are fighting great battles, and all of us do to one extent or another, for those in the time of spiritual battle and warfare, give great victory, a great revelation of the glorious victory of the cross of Christ. Just bring all of us into a joyful, confident walk with You. Not an easy walk, but joyful and confident. Bless Your people, we pray now as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.